It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we are Red Eye Radio. Welcome and thank you so much for being here this morning. You can download our Red Eye Radio app today. And if you can't listen overnight live to one of our great radio station affiliates, well, then you can listen on your phone whenever you want.
And thank you.
A lot of people do that now. Mm-hmm. I saw the other day there's like 70%, 70, 75% of people now have Bluetooth speakers.
Yeah.
And it makes it so easy to do it now. So
yeah, I see a lot of people now that also will cast shows from their phone onto their TV. So like streaming video now is many people watching it on their device, but their smaller device, but they'll also cast it onto the TV. My daughter comes in the other day. She goes, "Hey, Dad, you mind? I'm going to cast from my phone to the living room TV." And I was like, "Well, sure, you know how to do it." And she goes, "Oh, yeah." She goes, "I just want to make sure I haven't done it on that TV before. I just want to make sure you're okay with it." I was like, "Yeah, that's fine."
Yeah, I have the Google, what is it, the Generation 3 and the TV in my bedroom. I don't have, I dropped satellite. I've got and living in Dallas, there's so many TV stations. You've got like 100 channels. Maybe you can only watch about 50 of them.
Right.
But still, it's all for free. And then the number of internet channels, I mean, because I had satellite for so long, I really never investigated what was on the internet. I was blown away. I mean, it's Pluto TV. And now Pluto TV is part of also what, when I bought my new computer TV last year. Mm-hmm. They've got the LG stations themselves that are online stations. But you've got Freevee?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Pluto. You've got Tubi?
Mm-hmm.
You've got Redbox.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they all have ads.
Mm-hmm. You can watch Hulu with ads. You can watch.
Yeah,
and then some of the things on Spotify, you can choose to either pay for ad free or not. It's interesting because Netflix is introducing a new tier, and I haven't gotten clarification what the cost level of that tier will be, but it will be at an ad supported tier, so there will be ads on Netflix, and the question is, all right, in the end, are they going to go full zero, which is free with ads, or pay option without ads? And this is where it's going. Somebody made the stand-up comedian actually did the joke. All they're doing is basically they're getting back to cable. But instead, you're just going to have your app. Yeah. Both of my smart TVs, you can add whatever apps are available. One of my TVs is a Roku TV, so I don't need the Roku box, but I can add everything from Roku TV right there and add all the other apps, and I've got a ton of apps. I have to be careful of how many apps I'm adding. It's like there will be an ad here. Log on through this app and watch this, whatever it is. I'm like, oh, okay. I'll download the app. I'll watch it, and I'm like, a month later, yeah, I don't need that. But I watch a ton of YouTube. The only thing I would say, that there are two things that are worth paying for. Walmart Plus is now getting into this whole thing. I've got a Walmart Plus account for delivery on things and other benefits, fuel savings and everything else. But they're now going to be adding from streaming companies a benefit because they're competing directly with Amazon. So with Amazon Prime, you have Amazon Prime Video. And I would say, I can't say that at this point, in terms of streaming, that the Walmart Plus is worth it yet, because I don't know what their streaming is ultimately going to look like in my household. But Prime Video, I'd say up until recently, and it's probably because my habits have changed. My wife and I don't sit around and watch a lot of TV. We just don't sit still. I had to this past weekend. I was at my parents' house doing some things, and there was some downtime. And I watched a couple of things on Netflix, you know, on my phone. I have Netflix because my phone carrier pays for it. But I probably wouldn't, and I asked myself this a few times recently. Would you be paying for Netflix if you had to pay out of pocket for it?
I'm assuming
the answer is no.
I'm assuming the other thing you would pay for is, because you just mentioned two things, would be commercial-free YouTube.
Actually, it was going to get to, it wouldn't be, it's not Netflix, and so far it's not Walmart Plus for the streaming. It's Prime and YouTube, which is what I was getting to. And I pay for the commercial-free YouTube because of the way that their algorithm runs. I don't like the idea of, you know, the commercials just popping up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It just breaks the rhythm of whatever you're watching. And the content that I watch on YouTube is, I don't know, roughly 20 to 30 minutes long. The stuff I subscribe to, with the exception of the Nate Bargatze podcast. But even then, some of the podcasters are inserting their own live commercials, and that's not part of the commercial-free thing.
Right.
They do their own, you know, live commercials in there, which is fine. They're doing what they need to do to support their channel and their revenue. So
that's where I'm at right now, because the difference for me was when I got my new LG TV last year, and it's a great television, 55-inch. And, you know, what makes the difference for me is I can't believe how much YouTube I watch, and I was thinking about it yesterday. I went, you know, I may pay. It may be worth it, because if I watch things, because it's not what it is because there are so many millions of things on YouTube, you can create your own programming of things that interest you.
Right.
And some of these, you know, YouTube people are getting really good at producing, you know, individuals, you know, producing different things. And it's like, my God, that's better than some cable networks, the way that they produce it. I mean, on a number of different issues. But I will say this with, I can't believe I don't miss satellite, because with all the free apps and how much to begin with, even on cable was running commercials. But one of the things I was like, okay, I'm losing my HD definition channels. I'm like, I'm going to be missing some concert channels that I like to watch once in a while, even though they ended up after a year, you've watched the same ones. They weren't really adding, you know, new stuff and Smithsonian and things like that I like to watch, and History Channel. Well, I have found all those channels.
They all have their own YouTube channel.
They've all got their own YouTube channel, or they have they're on the LG stations that I have, or Pluto or whatever. And the number of new stations.
Yeah.
Because that was the one thing I said, if I go, I'm going to lose Fox. I'm going to lose Fox. Not that I watch it that much during prime time, or I really don't watch a lot of news TV much, because I don't wait for news. I go to the internet. Mm-hmm. But when breaking news happens, I want it. Well, now I have Fox News Live, is what it's called, and it carries a lot of the same programming as Fox. I haven't completely examined it yet. I don't know what they carry in primetime, but I have Newsmax, I have OAN, and it's like I've got CNN. I don't have MSNBC, but do I need that?
No.
No. Thank you, Newsbusters. Thank you, Kevin, for covering that for me.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
Anything that happens, Kevin makes sure that we get from Newsbusters.
Right.
.org. But and so I get all of that, and what I find is, because of YouTube and how much content they have, I'm watching more television because of my new television, because the menu was set up so easily with the remote.
Yeah.
The menu is beautiful.
Right.
And it's like, it's so easy. It's like, oh my. And I'm like, oh, this is really dangerous. Are you watching too much TV? Yes, but I'm creating the, well, I'm not creating, but I'm watching the content specifically that I wish to watch
exactly
when I want to watch it.
Right.
And I'm actually spending more. It's like, Gary, you got work to do. Go do it. Go do it. But you get so fascinated to say, well, I didn't know this. Oh, this guy's doing this. Oh, this guy's tearing apart an engine here. Let me check this.
Yeah.
Oh, this guy's examining what's the best used cars to have. Well, let me just watch it. And I become addicted to these things. And it's
right, right.
And I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, what you get is you get clarity because of the actual HD quality.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So that's, I don't care who's doing it. They're doing it on their phone. It's most the stuff you're seeing is HD quality. And the sound is good. That's all I really want. For example, one thing that I have noticed because of watching more YouTube is all press conferences in the NFL. When they do that, NFL, how many billions of dollars do you have? Why can't you ever hear the reporter asking the question to the coach?
Brian Regan does a bit on that.
But why in 2022?
It's stupid.
Why does that happen?
It's stupid.
It's the dumbest thing ever, and you sit there and you say, "Well, you're the billion-dollar corporation. You can't give me audio. You can't give me audio, and I can get it from any other schmuck who's just an average Joe who does a YouTube video."
Well, Brian Regan does it, in fact, it helped him form the title of one of his specials, Nunchucks and Flamethrowers, and he was talking about that. Started talking about sports, but then he said, "When there's breaking news and something happens." Like right there in your town, and local officials are talking to the press. It's wah 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 wah. Yeah, we don't know how they're all escaping. and then wah 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 wah. Nunchucks and flamethrowers. Wah 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 wah. Well, we believe they're hiding out in that neighborhood. And it's ridiculous, you know, when it gets to sports, it's the same thing.
It's like, I can't hear the reporter.
Yeah.
Well, in 2022, we don't have the kind of technology or boom mic that can pick up somebody who is 11 feet away asking a question.
Which is stupid.
In an excited sports manner.
Right. Right.
What? But YouTube... I think I may have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a 12-step program?
Well, no, this is a problem. My wife and I don't even get the time to watch as much as other subscriptions that we have on YouTube on the channels, but we do, and there's a couple of them. One is Simple Living Alaska, and this couple that's living there, and it's so cool.
They
have the most incredible garden because during their summer, which is very short, the hours are, you know, they have 22 hours of daylight or whatever. But they grow the best garden. And so we're trying to get, you know, you try and watch and learn something, but you just watch them as they basically it's a couple and they have a couple of dogs and a cat. And they moved from Oregon a few years ago, this 4 or 5 years ago, whatever. And they bought some land in Alaska. Not completely off of the grid. They do use a generator that they have to use. They also use a gas stove and oven. But it's cool watching it. And they spend most of their time basically providing for themselves. Again, just two people. They have chickens and a massive garden and the whole thing. And it's so cool because they're totally resourceful, but other YouTubers or even fans will chime in and say, hey, try doing this with your garden. And they've used information like that to improve, you know, things that they're doing. So you learn certain things. Matt's Off-Road Recovery, which I watched this channel grow for a while. They're based in Utah, and they go get people that go off-road and get in trouble, and they pull them out. Their vehicles and sometimes it's a regular vehicle. It could be a Prius. Why you go off-roading in a Prius is beyond me. And it could be one of the off-road vehicles, you know, that you mm-hmm. see, a four-wheeler. And I've learned because I have a new four-wheel truck that I bought about a year ago. and I've learned what not to do. Those are the things that I learned. But it's the quality of entertainment for me is much better because I see it's like interacting with real people, but it's also really well put together. I think they do a great job. Marques Brownlee, who is a genius when it comes to reviewing technology, the quality on his production is insane.
I got addicted for a while, not anymore, but there's a couple month period. The people in the tiny homes.
Yeah, right.
It's like, right, okay, yeah. How did you decide a tiny home? Yeah, all right, what do you have? Mm-hmm. What kind of toilet? And we decided that we would go with a cassette toilet in a tiny home.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Not happening. Yeah.
No, it's but even though it's fascinating when you see how they build them and these people that, and you wonder, okay, what's their life like that they would decide to go in a tiny home? And that's the one thing you actually do get, especially with so many of the YouTube channels, you get a personal one-to-one communication. It's not being filtered through anyone.
Right.
And even if it's, you sit there and go, this guy's full of it. It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. You can see it.
But he still seems like a nice guy.
Right.
He's clueless, but it really seems like a nice guy. And, okay, I can relate. I understand why he did it, but he did this wrong. There's a personal connection that you cannot get on broadcast TV. It just doesn't exist.
Right.
So, yeah. So far, so now with the, I don't know, what's been 5-6 months without, satellite.
Yeah, about 3 years for me.
I don't miss it at all.
No, I don't.
866-90 Red Eye.
Did you know that up to half of all major engine failures are due to poor cooling system maintenance? That's a lot of downtime and can cost drivers big. You expect a lot from your engine, which is why the cooling system must be a part of your maintenance routine. Here's a tip to keep your cooling system in shape and your engine running smooth. Most cooling system issues are due to lack of coolant caused by leaks. Perform a pressure test to make sure no leaks are present. While this may cause the system to fail, you want it to fail in the shop, not on the road. If your pressure test uncovers any leaks in the system, have them repaired by a professional technician immediately.
This report brought to you by Lubrifiner, engineering filters that are built to do more for heavy-duty fleets since 1996.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll-free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. And the other thing I've noticed since, again, I got my... the computer TV, is that what they call it? The
smart TV.
Smart, okay. The real smart TV, because I had a smart TV before, but this is the real smart TV, is that everything is lined up, but it's really amazing. I had dropped ESPN years ago, even though I still had satellite. I dropped ESPN. It's like, not going to pay for this. You know, I wanted sports, not politics. It doesn't really matter now. On YouTube, you can put in whatever team you like, college, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And if you put a pro sports team, and it's like all the ESPN shows that talk about, you know, the ESPN or Fox Sports 1 or whatever. I mean, because there's so many different sports networks out there, and it all appears in front of you, and you can tailor exactly what you want. And I'm thinking to myself, why would anybody watch ESPN anymore?
Right.
Why would you sit down and say, I'm going to turn on ESPN to sit there and wait an hour to hear about my particular, hopefully to hear about my particular team when you go to YouTube and it's boom, right there. You choose it. I wonder what the viability of not sports networks for live sports, but even when it comes to, you know, for the years, if you want to watch, you know, the highlights of the game, you can watch. You don't need to tape a game and watch the entire thing or DVR it. You just can watch the 8 minutes of
highlights
that come up an hour after the event's over.
Gary McNamara and Eric Harley taking your calls. 1-866-90-RED-EYE.
And he's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. So, interesting day yesterday. It was roughly a little over 24 hours ago that we broke the story overnight about what was going on in Russia Putin coming out and stating that, you know, conscription was back, that they were going to go after reservists, 300,000 of them. And boy, did things ever move fast. Tickets to visa-free destinations. The New York Times reported such as Istanbul, Dubai, Armenia, and other places were either sold out for the next several days or their prices had skyrocketed. And then we saw that in order to stop that from happening, Putin came out and banned any 18 to 34-year-old male from leaving the country. And then New York Post reporting that one of the biggest searches on Russian search engines yesterday was how to break your arm successfully at home so then you wouldn't have to go and serve.
Wow.
There were protests that were going on, and one of the thoughts, and it's tough to get a, there's not a lot of reporters in Russia right now, so it's tough to get a handle as to how the public thinks. We know that the public in Russia over the last 25 years has had much more access to world news than they've ever had before.
Yeah, sure.
And so the question is, with Putin doing this, is this a weakness to his, is this viewed as a weakness to his opposition? One of the fears is if there is a coup, that the coup would be based on the hardliners believing that Putin had failed to run this war correctly, and that the problem is not the war, that it wasn't run correctly, and who might replace Putin, you'd end up getting the opposite of what you would actually want.
Right.
What effect? I was reading National Review that, you know, they did an editorial back in February stating the people that believe in democracy have to come forward. Mm-hmm. Well, can they? Is it possible? I don't know if anybody knows that right now.
Right.
Is that a possibility of happening? How dissatisfied are the people with what's going on, with the sanctions, with the economy? I mean, there's so much that we don't know about what the feeling is of the people of Russia right now based on the fact of, because, you know, we talk about the war, but how is the war sapped from the economy? How have the sanctions sapped from the economy? What is the actual unemployment rate?
Right.
Over there right now. What is an accurate, and I guess you could probably, the CIA would probably know a lot of this information. Well, if they're not investigating Trump.
Yeah.
They probably do. I mean, they probably, you know a lot more than we know about the situation right now in Russia, because there's so many different possibilities. Is it a bluff? Will Putin actually use nuclear weapons? Or are there people inside the government that view that as so unacceptable, maybe even allies of Putin? Because if you do that, could that be the end of Putin and therefore you, if you're an ally of Putin, because of the response in general for a war that initially you might have said, oh, okay, yeah, let's go in and do this. It could fit our political purposes for a little while. And now you don't see it fitting your political purposes. And you look at the entire situation, where the economy is going, what your opposition is thinking, and you're like, oh, okay, Putin has to go. Those are just the possibilities, I don't think. And that's what I read yesterday, even from experts on Russia, you know, throughout the United States, is we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what he's going to do. We don't know what the reaction's going to be.
I think that uncertainty has a basically the rest of the world preparing for the worst, because you have to. The UK, it was just announced moments ago, the UK has lifted the ban on fracking. And that's a huge deal, because it tells you that, yeah, we're going to have to get natural gas, and we're going to have cheap and plentiful natural gas for the winter.
Wow.
That's a massive move.
You know, we examine that, but let's, you know, we examine, you look at it and go, wow, that's the insanity of those leaders over there. Well, look at the insanities of the leaders here and the people of the United States.
Sure.
Think about this. I mean, it's, will we ever, I have to ask, you know, we can criticize others, but let's reflect here on our own country right now. Reflect for a moment the stupid things that we do.
And now, reflections of the stupid things we do with Eric and Gary.
But we do when you... And we've been calling it stupid for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And at times, if you're a conservative talk radio host, you know, you've got, you know, we know conservative talk radio has tens of millions of listeners. But at times, things get so stupid where you can sit here in front of the microphone and say, is anybody out there? I feel like, as you know, it's like sometimes you not now, right now, because people seem to be rising up, especially with an election coming. But there's been times when you and I have looked at each other and gone, "How did we get here? Why aren't people protesting? What's happening here?"
Right.
And for the longest time on our energy policy, why would we commit economic, energy, and national security suicide? I mean, are people that delusional where they look and go, oh, we can have a country where we can pretend that we can have the kind of energy that we want because we pretend it. And if we pretend hard enough, then it will come true. That reality doesn't seem to matter. I'm not talking about the politicians that are trying to sell you something so you vote for them. I'm talking about the American citizen who has allowed this to go on for such a long time. It would stop if Americans would say, stop it.
Yeah, we could do that.
Because the insanity of what we're doing on energy policy, I mean, it is just as, who said it the other day? From the Democrat, from the Obama administration. Said it, we played the audio the other day. I can't remember who it was.
I think it was Lawrence Summers.
No, it wasn't Summers. No, it was somebody else. Was it Summers?
I know we played audio from Summers.
I don't know. I'll have to go back and see if I can find it here in a little bit. But it's from the Obama administration saying it. Well, maybe it was Summers. Yeah, it looks quite insane.
Yeah, about the movement of energy and the fact that we're moving it on rail and trucks.
Yeah. And so we were saying, Lawrence Summers sees it. And he said, mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, because we said, he's a Keynesian talking supply side economics.
Right.
I mean, this is insane. I mean, that was insane to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking supply side economics. He's talking about we need more supply. We need more supply. Why? Because people need it and it will be cheaper. Well, that's supply side economics. You're a Keynesian. Yep. You believe the government running everything is how to successfully run an economy. And is reality finally hitting there? Because it did bring me to the question, are some Democrats finally looking at this saying, this is just crazy?
Well, I said it the other day when we played the audio cut, abstract versus reality. Abstract is the cocktail socialist discussion about Keynesian economics.
Well, you know, if you just apply the mathematics properly and you invest a dollar, then clearly you get $1.50 in return. I don't know what you're drinking at that cocktail party, but that's the abstract. And the reality is now of a Lawrence Summers who believed in Keynesian economics. It's insane that we're moving oil by truck and by rail when pipeline clearly would be the most efficient way to do that.
And also the former gubernatorial candidate of of California and the climate change researcher who believes in climate change, mm-hmm. and believes that climate change is causing, you know, moderate damage. But he believes man is affecting it, but he believes the worst thing that's come out of climate change is our reaction to it, just like mm-hmm. Bjorn
yeah.
Lomborg
right.
Did. But this guy stopped being a Democrat this year, saying this is just crazy. I mean, how do we do this? How do we live in a nation where there isn't an uproar when we know that the president is the reason that we have massive illegal immigration across the country, and he sits there and says it all is secure? When did we become a nation? Forget about politics. When did we become a nation that just accepts obvious lies and only get upset when it personally affects us?
Right.
Why, aren't Americans smart enough to understand that if something is abstract tomorrow, like energy policy, that eventually you're going to suffer? Can't we see cause and effect?
Yeah, right. I mean, you would think.
You would think we would be able to figure that out. And it's like, you know, no, but it's just great because I don't care. And, I'll go bowling on Wednesday and my team plays on Saturday. That's all I need to do. And,
yeah, well, it's the abstract still until the fire reaches your doorstep. I mean, you know, that's what it comes down
to. The kitchen's on fire, but I'm not moving because it's not in the living room yet.
This is exactly what I said when Obama said, well, the national debt's not a problem. What he's saying is that you're in the bedroom and the kitchen's on fire. It's not a problem for you yet.
Well, now it's a problem.
No, this is what we have talked about. Is
now
you're going to wait. If you're going to wait for it to get to your door, there will be few options, if any.
As we're seeing right now.
Exactly. No, tell me where the options are. Tell me where the options are for the American families.
There are none.
There aren't. I mean, they're making the toughest of choices right now. And it's not about, well, I'll get the generic brand versus the... No, it's about, we're going to have to eat, but you know what? We also have to keep the lights on. And it's not going to turn around. That isn't going to improve, most economists believe, at least for the next year and a half to 2 years. They don't see any turnaround in that. And then you add a greater recession as time goes along, a recession driven in part by inflation, but also by design through the Fed raising interest rates to slow inflation. But you're also slowing the economy.
And no indication that the Democrats, by the way, did you see a couple of Republicans came out and criticized Republicans for going along too much with Democrats on spending?
Yeah.
It helped to cause inflation early on.
Good.
It's good. And you know, finally in March of 2021, they couldn't get any more votes. Republicans said we had enough.
Right.
But it's a legit question to ask.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm not above examining the role of Republicans.
Oh, no.
Especially after August of 2005.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, yeah. This is going to be and has to be a full accounting.
And by the way, if you don't understand my reference to August of 2005, it was a day that Eric and I had only been working together for about a month or so, and I came in furious because it was Tom DeLay who... You say the word Tom DeLay and people say conservative Republican, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the one that came out and said, Republicans need to shut up. We cut the budget as much as possible because conservatives were complaining that the Republicans who had power were spending too much money.
Yeah, and I thought you were going to have a stroke before we went on the air.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Will be interesting to see what happens over the next couple of days in Russia. Also, really interested to see. I didn't see. Dow futures were down, weren't they, earlier?
They
go back up.
When I looked before the show, they were up, and they are still up.
Yeah, they're up. Oh, wow, 193. Yeah. When we came in, they were down.
Right before the show, they had turned around.
Oh, okay.
But I can't remember to what extent. The Dow down yesterday, 522 plus points. And that basically, according to analysts, was based on the forecast, not just raising the interest rates, but the Fed's forecast.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens.
Which was downgraded.
Yes. And so we'll see.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across the USA and around the world, we're Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Welcome and good morning. Download our Red Eye Radio app today, and if you cannot listen overnight live to one of our great radio station affiliates, you can listen on our Red Eye Radio app right on your phone and connect it to your Bluetooth speaker, and the bass of our voices on the Bluetooth speakers will come out more powerful.
There you go.
They will. And because we're talking, it will come out even more powerful.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Sure.
All right. Yesterday, Representative Rashida Tlaib was asking questions to CEO Jamie Dimon, J.P. Morgan, and other heads of five other major banks, who all refuse to commit to divesting from oil and the gas industry.
Huh.
This shows you just the insanity of her mindset right now and the insanity of Democrats with what's going on right now.
Yep.
Where we need more drilling. We need more natural gas. If anything we have seen since Russia invaded Ukraine, we need to be energy self-sufficient.
Yep.
Listen to this.
I would like to ask all of you and go down the list, because, again, you all have agreed to doing this. Please answer with a simple yes or no. Does your bank have a policy against funding new oil and gas products? Mr. Dimon.
Absolutely not. And that would be the road to hell for America.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Sir, you know what? Everybody that got relief from student loans has a bank account with your bank should probably take out their account and close their account. The fact that you're not even there to help relieve many of the folks that are in debt, extreme debt, because of student loan debt, and you're out there criticizing it. Ms. Frazier, how about you?
We will continue to invest in and support clients who are investing in fossil fuels and in helping them transition to cleaner energies.
And Mr. Monahan?
We are helping our clients make a transition, and that means we're lending to both oil and gas companies and to new energy companies and helping monitor their course towards the standards you're talking about.
Yeah, Mr. Sharp?
The same thing as Mr. Moynihan said.
Yeah, I'm not going to ask you, Mr. Dimon, because you obviously don't care about working class people in frontline communities like ours that are facing huge amounts of high rates of asthma, respiratory issues, and so much more. Cancer rates are so high.
I would absolutely blast her.
You don't care about what they're going through right now, having to make decisions around the world as to whether or not they're going to use their heat this winter.
Yeah, I'd blast her. I mean, somebody eventually has to take these idiots in Congress on. They have not earned our respect.
Yeah, no, you're
give them respect.
Clueless, and you don't know what your own constituents are facing. Every single day, you don't know the cost of what is going on right now. You're clueless. And how you got elected is beyond me. And that would be my answer. You're clueless. I'm not going to start with, well, with all due respect, you haven't earned it. And to spit in the face of your own constituents that way.
By the way, when he criticized student debt, what he said was, I wish they would have targeted the people who actually need help. They still haven't fixed the underwriting. They haven't fixed the cost of college. She is, as most of the squad, completely, totally intellectual lightweights who run on emotion, delusional emotion and rage. Somebody should tell her that publicly. And I believe yesterday, Jamie Dimon should have had the guts to say that to her.
Yep, I would have.
Because she's a child.
It would be impossible for me to not say
yes.
that.
Be impossible for me not to, too. If you're going to say it's a road to hell, and then she comes and she throws that at you, you go back and you blast her.
Yep.
She's an intellectual lightweight. She's clueless. She's an emotional, liberal, rageaholic.
Yep.
Of whatever her delusional mindset is telling her brain. I don't even know how to describe it.
And you care nothing of what your constituents are going through.
She cares nothing about her constituents. She cares nothing about the poor. Nothing. She doesn't give a damn about the poor. Oh, one thing, though. One of the other members of the squad, I saw AOC, though, said people can't can't have kids because of capitalism. And because of inflation, because of capitalism.
Okay.
Well, then there are good things to capitalism, then.
Yes.
She can't have children.
Then if the far left decides not to procreate, then okay.
Yeah.
That is their choice.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, we agree with her on that one.
Yes.
She's just, members of... they're supposed to be a decorum, and you treat these members of Congress with respect. To hell with that.
No, no.
Send me to jail. Go ahead.
Yeah, they work for us.
Yeah.
You're a servant of the people. And how dare you ignore the hardships, the current hardships of your constituents and all Americans, with such BS?
Yeah, I know.
That's reprehensible.
And you know what she does? She does what the left does. They don't actually want to have a debate on the issue. She doesn't say, look, here's what I think. Tell me where I'm wrong, because I think you're completely off. What she does is, I want you to answer yes or no.
Right.
One word answers.
And so I can corner you.
So then I can blast you without allowing you to respond.
Mm-hmm.
That's a complete lack of respect for people that, in my opinion, if you get to be ahead of a, multinational financial institution, if they call you in, they deserve the benefit of the doubt, that they can explain the benefit of the doubt and the respect that you actually wish to hear what they have to say.
And let you're the willing people to have judge it on the merits of whatever they say.
You're willing to have the debate, but you're not.
I don't care what people think about Jamie Dimon or Chase. I don't care where people bank. They can all decide to go to Bank of America tomorrow. I don't care. But if you're going to have this back and forth, if it's going to be full attack mode, let's go full on WWE. Great. If this is how we're going to play, I can do this all day. I'd be happy to answer your questions. Please bring me up. Please make that happen. Go ahead. This is the insanity. And again, the bankers are responsible. Everybody's responsible. Everybody. Well, nobody's expelling more gas at the moment than you. coming out of that mouth of yours.
It's just amazing. Just amazing. And she's completely clueless as to how the world works. Completely.
Yep.
She has no idea.
Right.
You know, it's time for us to stop. If somebody has earned your respect by telling a politician, by telling you, here's what I believe, now what do you believe? Well, I'll have the argument with you. I'll have with you. I don't care if it gets heated.
I'll return whatever you serve to me.
A heated debate is still showing respect for one another.
Sure.
You're just showing your passion and your view. She doesn't want to have the debate.
It's a verbal attack and nothing less.
Right. She doesn't want to have the debate. You're answering one question or answering one word, one word and only.
Right.
No, I'm going to answer. You ask me the question and I'll answer.
Right.
And then you say something and boom.
Right.
What she expects, the banks. Anybody think it's smart for banks right now where we at to simply say we're not going to loan money to any company that produces oil, natural gas, gasoline, refineries?
I like the last response. What he said.
Yeah.
In other words, I'm not even going to give you the time of day. It's not even what he said. You're not worth it.
No, she's not worth it.
Your little pathetic game here, because you don't have full control of industry yet.
Yep.
That's what this is.
She has no respect for anybody else's opinion. She deserves no respect. I don't care. Well, if it's a heated discussion, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. I have no problem with heated discussion.
If you want to have a debate, but if you want to ask me a question and then ask about what our policy is, I'd be happy to repay that respect to you with an answer.
Right.
But if you're going to come at me, I'll come back at you. And that's the way it's going to play. And if you start it, then I'll finish it. Right. That's the way it's going to be. Because ultimately what the game is, in this case, is control of industry. It's not just the energy industry. It's not just the medical industry and the health industry. It's also the banking industry. See, that's what they want. Socialists want greater control of the industry and the capital in their move to communism. And you may say, well, slippery slope. No, that's exactly what they want. And they're pretty open about it. We should be able to control industry and eventually nationalize. That's what they want to do. Nationalize healthcare, nationalize energy, nationalize banking. Hey, we tried that, nationalizing the college loans. How'd that work out, Gary?
Yeah, not too good.
Uh-huh.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Last May, USDA Foreign Agricultural Service Administrator Daniel Whitley told lawmakers about a milestone in the McGovern-Dole International Food for Education and Child Nutrition Program.
This is the 20-year anniversary of the program. Since the program's inception, we fed over 31 million children around the world in 48 different countries, purchasing more than 1.3 million tons of American food.
And Wednesday, $220 million in investments were granted to 8 schools feeding projects in food insecure nations in Africa and East Asia as part of the McGovern-Dole program. The Agriculture Department also announced a $178 million investment to 7 international development projects as part of Food for Progress. That program designed to strengthen both ag systems and trade opportunities for developing nations. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90 Red Eye. Well, we know, one thing we do know is that the Fed rate up 0.75%, and that means now that we have the Fed rate 3.25% right now. The 30-year mortgage yesterday was up, if you had an average credit rating was up over 7%.
Hmm.
So, I mean, that's huge right now. So yeah. The Fed also, after announcing it, did revise what their future numbers were, and they downgraded all of them, whether it was where the GDP was going to go this year and next year. They downgraded that. They downgraded GDP growth for next year and also for 2024. They don't project right now, and they've been downgrading it. They don't project the GDP by 2024 to be over 2%.
Right. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Well, and that's it. I mean, if there isn't a significant boost in productivity, then how do you get beyond inflation, and get inflation back to where it needs to be, which is much lower than we are now. And it's mind-boggling to think about.
When he talked about the fact that there's going to have to be significant job loss, that we do need to slow down the economy.
Yeah.
I look at it. I see the you know, where mortgages are going right now.
Mm-hmm.
Rents are going up.
Yeah.
Energy is going to be going up. I still think that the signs right now indicate a third quarter of negative growth. So I don't know what you're going to see in the fourth quarter, especially if the housing market is hit particularly hard at that point. And in October, November, and December, energy costs start skyrocketing for natural gas, and people start feeling that effect.
Yeah.
Will the Christmas shopping season help boost it enough? I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not too optimistic for this winter, for the next 6 months.
Yeah. I will be interested to see what the Atlanta Fed and their GDP Now forecast update for Q3 is like, and that happens next Tuesday. And I don't know how much of it will be influenced by what the Federal Reserve Chairman said yesterday on their revised forecast. I have to believe that the Atlanta Fed would be influenced by the Federal Reserve. I'm just guessing. Call me silly. I don't want to get into the slippery slope thing, but I'm just guessing that next Tuesday that update would not look good. It's already down to 0.3 right now. Again, their forecast for GDP growth for the third quarter. That dropping from 2.6 on September 1st. So we'll see where it ends up on the 27th and how much of that is influenced by what the Federal Reserve Chairman said yesterday in the forecast. So then you look into other, economic indicators that will come out, and some leading economic indicators report is supposed to hit this morning at 9 a.m. our time, 10 a.m. Eastern. And we'll see what that looks like. And then beyond that into September with inflation numbers. What will those numbers look like? Then we have essentially at the end of October, the GDP numbers coming out for the third quarter. And then November 2nd, just days before the midterm, you've got another Fed meeting, which they're likely to raise interest rates again. I'm guessing it'll be 0.75. We'll see. But those are basically your big numbers that are going to tell us where we are between now and election time. But again, you look at inflation, and those are the things that the consumer inflation numbers and the report on inflation, that's irrelevant to the consumer because they already know it. They're already paying it, as we said. When the August numbers came out, it's like, yeah, we already know we're paying over 8% more, over last year. So, yeah, we get it. And those are the numbers that really hit. The report for them is the receipt.
Yeah, and the report that came out yesterday, though, showing that since the end of 2020, because we know from the end of March of 2021,
mm-hmm.
roughly the average family has seen an increase of about $800 a month. You know, 470 yeah, right. year to year, that would be from last September to this September. But if you go from March, it's even more. Well, from the end of 2020, the Nerd Wallet came out and said they believe the average household now has to make $11,500 more just to break even.
Yeah, right.
From what you were making at the end of 2020. That's not good.
No, not good at all.
Ask about the extra E. Call in during the show. 1-866-90-RED-EYE. Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. 866-90-RED-EYE. Interesting, because you and I looking at the different polling here about what U.S. Likely voters are actually concerned about. And a new list came out yesterday from Rasmussen. They did one last week. And not inflation, illegal immigration rose 11% in 1 week of the very concerned, and 12% with the very concerned in 1 week. Why? What was the one thing that changed? It wasn't even Abbott.
No.
It wasn't even Abbott
nope.
starting this, or Ducey from Arizona following him, or the mayor of El Paso sending migrants to different cities, New York, whatever. It was DeSantis sending migrants to Martha's Vineyard.
Yep.
That's the thing that set it all off. And I was thinking yesterday, as Trump was back in the news again and this seemed to go in the back burner, I could imagine the media, because they know it's working against them.
Mm-hmm.
I just could see the media and the Democrats going, whew, all right, everything's back to Trump today and Trump's problems.
Yeah, right.
And so it will be interesting to see where this goes from this point on, because DeSantis says he's not going to stop.
Right.
And when you saw an 11-point, that doesn't happen on any issue.
No.
Where you can have an 11-point difference in 1 week. But the top now, the top concerns of all U.S. likely voters from Rasmussen from yesterday, the top. Violent crime, number one. Energy policy, number two. High gas prices, number three. Inflation, number four. The economy, number five. Illegal immigration, number six. Election integrity, seven. National security, eight. School issues, nine. Election cheating, 10. Abortion rights, 11.
Wow.
And what do the all U.S. likely voters believe? This is really, the disconnect is amazing. What do likely voters believe is most important? What do they see be reporting from the media?
Hmm.
What the issues are of the media? Number one, climate change. Number two, Ukraine war. Number three, Capitol riot investigation. Number four, COVID-19. Number five, LGBTQ issues. Not one overlapping. Not one.
Wow. Well, you know, it's very clear right now that you look at it and it is not a question, just a question of who has the answers to solve it. It's also a question of what caused it or mm-hmm. who caused it. That's what people in their minds, anybody who's informed at all in their voting and curious about where things are and also wants to bring about any kind of change or response to what's going on, you have to look back at, okay, how did we get here? You know, one of the things that they got away with in 2008, the left was able to kind of completely cover up how they got to the housing crisis, how we got there.
Mm-hmm. I know, yeah.
And it was, you know, we can blame it on the banks. We nope. can blame it on Wall Street. We can blame it on whatever. Nope. And they didn't. And the left was able to parlay that into a clear win because you're coming out of a two-term George W. Bush presidency and the economy was tanking, and it must have been the Republicans' fault. The fact of the matter, it went back all the way to, in fact, the New York Times wrote an article about it, September 30th, 1999, and the subprime lending debacle and how that was going to be worse than the SNL fallout, savings and loan fallout, for those that don't know. And you'd have to Google that and look into that to see how bad that was. But we looked at the entire picture, but voters weren't looking at the entire picture because there wasn't a focus. Right now, you have a mainstream media focus on immigration, on crime, on inflation. These are things that all of them, every one of them, have this invasive feel and this unsettling effect on American homes, on American families. And there's no way around that. Crime in your neighborhood is going up. Violent crime is going up. You don't feel safe and secure. Inflation, groceries and rent and car payments. I don't feel like I'm going to be able to make it. You feel insecure. And the border. What are we doing here? Look at all the people that are coming here. Look at the numbers, the sheer numbers. And it's not just a border state problem anymore. When all of that comes to the surface, that is a very disconcerting set of issues. And then you ask the question, what or who caused it? Defund the police, rise in crime, spending,
inflation,
and the open border policy that Joe Biden himself promised as a candidate and delivered as president.
And
has us in a full-on border crisis.
And energy?
Yep. And energy you shut down,
right.
the best options that we have at the moment and pretend like you didn't do it.
Violent crime, energy policy, high gas prices, the economy, illegal immigration, the top six right there. All with over 84% or more concerned about it, all created by government, by liberals, by Democrats.
Yep.
Everything right there.
Yep.
The wild spending, all self-inflicted. The major problems we have were self-inflicted. It's not about the fact of, okay, national security. All right, what do we do about Russia?
Mm.
Okay. Well, what do we do about Russia? Not sure. It depends what Russia does first, right?
Right.
So you look at that and go, okay, well, that's not totally in our control. Violent crime, completely and totally within our control.
Yep.
There are no outside influences that affect violent crime. Can't blame Russia.
Nope.
Can't blame Trump.
They wish they could.
Energy policy, high gas prices, we know why. Inflation, we know, and people may say, well, no, because of the Ukraine, the high energy prices, we should have been prepared for it. We shouldn't be cutting back on domestic energy. We have, as we've called it, a suicidal economic, energy, and national security suicide problem in this country. We're trying to destroy ourselves from within. Why? Why? We've got to ask the Democrats about that. And they can't answer it because any answer would be completely and totally delusional. So violent crime, energy, high gas prices, inflation, the economy, and then, as you just mentioned, illegal immigration, all were the creation of our government and the creation of the people of this country that voted those politicians into office and still wish to continue to vote those people into office. Please tell us where we're wrong. You can't.
And those are the political headwinds right now that the Democratic Party faces. What will the voter do? We can't tell you that.
Two things quickly here, because we covered them a little bit earlier in the show. But quickly on the civil lawsuit from Attorney General James in New York against Trump. Again, I haven't read the entire thing, scanned it, but the problems, obviously, in the civil suit is when I heard that she was holding the press conference, I went, okay, and it's a question that we've always asked. Well, wait a minute. If you're bargaining with somebody and you inflate if you tell somebody, no, what I have is worth, I want to take a loan from you and my house is worth $5 million. Does the bank just go, oh, okay, that's fine. Here's $5 million?
No.
No. What do they do?
They're going to do, in fact, they're going to, at that level, they're going to send in an entire team.
Right. Entire team goes in and does it. So you can say whatever you want. I saw that one of the things they talked about was, well, Trump had inflated this, but the real problem is Trump said that his net worth was $5 billion. And then in order to get the bank, he wrote a personal letter. This was him trying to, they say, to buy the Buffalo Bills. Hey, would the Bills be where they were today if Trump was there?
Would they have the team, the and everybody's hailing it as the probably the greatest Buffalo team in a long time? Would they? Maybe.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Oh, he would have moved them.
Exactly. They'd be in LA.
I was going to say, well, his motto would have been, make the Bills great again, but.
They'd be the Burbank Bills.
Yeah.
Or whatever. I mean, I don't know. He might not. I don't know if I'd move my team to Los Angeles, so because. I know it's a big market, but football has failed there already. But we'll see whether it does, you know, whether it does.
The Mar-a-Lago Bills.
The Mar-a-Lago
Bills. They're out. They got a practice camp right there at Mar-a-Lago. That would be fun. I would watch that practice camp. Yeah,
they might be a part of the new Saudi league.
Yeah, it could be. But you want to play into the conspiracy theory. But you have underwriters in those situations.
Yes, exactly.
And the underwriters can decide to either take what he claims on face value. Because what the AG did, too, is did a referral, a criminal referral, to the Department of Justice and the IRS. Well, the IRS already audits him annually, and trust me, they would likely find something in an audit and have found it by now after decades and decades and decades in business. I'd have a hard time finding or believing that they haven't found anything, you know, or that they're just now finding something after years of doing audits.
Well, the thing is, first off, it wasn't a criminal charge, and you figure, because you're saying massive fraud.
This is a civil lawsuit, right.
Yeah, massive fraud is, you know, if you said there's incredible massive fraud, and you can't, as Attorney General, of New York, you can't find the crime in there.
Why would an Attorney General do a referral to the DOJ
of the state of New York?
Right, the AG.
Well, especially when the Southern District of New York just stopped their investigation of Trump, as did the Manhattan DA Bragg, who was working with her. He also stopped his investigation, too. Mm-hmm. The other thing, and those are the things you go, okay, you know, William Barr came out yesterday, and he's got no problem criticizing Trump. He believes Trump is vulnerable on Mar-a-Lago.
Right.
And so do we.
Mm-hmm.
But even on Fox, they said, well, how come you took his side this time, or you didn't take his side last time, and you're taking his side now? It's not taking sides.
It's based on the issue at hand.
It's based on the issue, not on the man, you know, not on the person. But you look at it and you say, all right, it's a civil lawsuit. There isn't one victim.
Right. Right.
There's not one victim listed in the civil lawsuit.
Would you send something to the DOJ if you believe he broke? You're the AG of the state of New York and you didn't find a crime, but you send something to someone else at the DOJ. Why? Yeah, so
doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
As for Trump being on Hannity last night talking about the declassification, wow. You know, you want to keep Trump in the news. All he has to do is keep saying things like that, that he said yesterday, that a president can declassify documents by just thinking about it.
Yeah. No, there's a bit of a burden there if you have to actually demonstrate.
That there doesn't have to be a process. Now, I believe that is partially right. If he states publicly, and he has witnesses, I am declassifying these things right here for public thing. That would be if the process doesn't start. Right. That's on the bureaucrat's fault.
Right.
But he can't say for
he
him
can't
to,
just by for thinking
him to,
about it.
Him to say I'm thinking about that. Right. This is classified or right. This is no longer classified, and everybody else must go along with it. No, that's you're not going to sell that to anybody. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So I'm assuming that the mainstream media, the Democrats, I mean, they looked at yesterday and said, okay, Trump's in the news. This is what we need to get back to before the midterms. It'll be interesting to see what the, what now happens on immigration and whether, did you see that story the other day? Remember 2 days ago that DeSantis was sending a plane to Delaware, and that never happened.
Yeah, I didn't see where he had followed through on that, but
that was all over social media that they were headed there, and then it just sort of disappeared. But it picked up. But it will be interesting to see. But
yesterday I thought that the timing by the state attorney general of New York and her lawsuit on Trump and his grown children, I think that was timed out because she needed that distraction too. She knows her party wants that distraction in the media.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.